afternoon on this beautiful Monday. And for some, it's spring break week. It is for me. So, many of you who may be listening to my voice right now are working, single, Christian parents. And you know how valuable that time is when you get some time off of work. And so, because I work in the schools as a speech-language pathologist, I follow the school schedule, and this is the Martin County School District week for spring break. So, I am just loving every minute of it, and, you know, I'm here in Jensen Beach, Stuart area. If any of you are familiar with the East Coast, it's about 35 minutes north of Palm Beach. Everybody knows where Palm Beach is. So, I have beautiful beaches within a few minutes drive. I'm actually 2 miles from the beach. So I like to explore along Hutchinson Island and really enjoy all that nature has to offer and all that the Lord has been giving to us in this beautiful season. So I'm just enjoying His rewards right now. I've been in other places. I've been in other seasons of struggle and seeking and hiding and consecration, you know, and, you know, not knowing how my bills are going to get paid and how did I get myself in so much debt and, you know, heartbreak and, you know, just not really knowing what direction to take. But I'm actually in a season of clear view. Vision, complete destiny, fulfillment for this stage of my life, at least. I mean, obviously, we have a lot more left to go. So when these moments happen, we want to stop and we want to praise Him and we want to testify of those good things. Because a lot of times we only hear the other side of things. We only hear when we're going through struggles, but sometimes we forget to follow up and say, hey, you know, all those prayers that I prayed and all those prophetic words that I received, or those times when I was patient and I bared through a lot of the uncertainty and tough times. Well, that season has come to an end, and here I am in a season of fulfillment and reward and favor. So I feel like it's very important for us to remember to testify of that. So here I am. But as I was laying in bed, actually, let's see, was that Saturday morning? Yeah, I think it was Saturday morning. I'd had a dream, so I was laying in bed and I was pondering it. And so many of us understand, as we read the word, we see how God has spoken to many of those saints in the Bible through dreams and visions. And that is two ways that God speaks. He speaks many, many, many different ways. I couldn't exhaust the list right now, but Brian Simmons actually has an amazing book that I would definitely refer to you, and you can get it on Audible. It's called Praying with Jesus on the Sea of Glass, and I listen to that over and over again. It's just a really thorough, comprehensive, exhaustive piece of work that looks at the power of prayer all throughout the scriptures. And he has an amazing chapter on all the different ways that God speaks. And in fact, I didn't even realize some of these things I just took for granted. You know, things like impressions, inner knowings, speaking through nature. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of huge prophetic voices in the body right now that are teaching us and exposing us to all these things that maybe we didn't know. And so we might be pretty well versed in some of these ways that God speaks, but there's still even more yet to be discovered. Of course, He speaks through His word. He speaks through others. And, but anyway, so I'd had a dream, and I don't want to talk about that dream because it's really not the subject matter of, this podcast today. But as I was laying in bed, pondering the dream, I had a vision. And what I mean by that is I was wide awake, but I was still kind of in that half awake, half asleep state. And so that's during that time when you're very still and you're at rest is when God can speak. And sometimes He chooses to speak through your imagination, right? And so He'll give you pictures. This was a still picture. Sometimes I have seen visions of moving pictures, which would be like a little movie or what looks like a still picture, but that it's moving. You know, something in the picture is moving. Sometimes you'll see words. Sometimes you'll hear his voice from within. Sometimes you'll hear his voice from without. When it's really loud and you're like, wow, I just heard that scripture. Wow, that was crazy. What was that? And so, you know, what it is it's the Lord speaking in a way that only he can. And typically it's something that you wouldn't expect, right? It's nothing that your natural mind or your imagination would conjure up. Oh, you know, obviously this has been on my mind. And so, yeah, I've been thinking about that, or I saw that. A lot of times it's something that comes out that we like to say from left field, like, what in the world? Usually if your reaction is, wait, what was that? What did I just see? Where did that come from? And a lot of times we'll even just dismiss them because they just seem so nonsensical, you know? So, but what I saw, because now that I've gotten familiar with how he speaks, I actually took note of it and then I pressed in. What does this mean? And I have been pressing in even more so. And so what he likes to do is he likes to reveal things in symbolic form. He uses names and imagery. And what he likes us to do is to seek, because in the scripture it says that it is the pleasure of kings to conceal a matter. And that is referring to the Lord, how he likes to conceal a matter. But it's the pleasure and joy of kings to seek it out. And that would be us as king priests, right? Because he likes to do things that only pressing into his, you know, written word. So a lot of times I go straight to the Bible. You know, I'll go online, I'll enter in keywords into Bible Hub or Bible Gateway of something that I see in my mind's eye, and then I'm drawn into the scripture. And typically I'll use a lot of different versions, because what I just recently discovered is that you may key in a word, a phrase of something that you saw and heard, but it will only pop up in different certain versions. It may not be in every version of the Bible that's out there online. And so I just recently realized that, because this is what happened to me. So a lot of times, like, I love the Passion Translation, but as we know, there's not every book of the Bible yet translated in that version. So, for instance, Judges or Malachi, you know, some of those Old Testament, definitely the whole New Testament, all of Psalms, all of Genesis, Isaiah, Song of Solomon, and Proverbs, as far as I know. There might be one other one that I'm missing that he has recently transcribed, so correct me if I'm wrong. But so anyway, even if you look up what I did was I did like an NIV search. I did a King James, a New King James, an American Standard Bible, and I found more scripture that way. Okay, so going back, the point of this vox, this message today, this podcast today, is not just to go on and on about something that happened to me, but I also want to share with you what I feel like the Lord may be speaking. And sometimes when he shares it with one of us, he may be sharing it with more than one person. So what I may be seeing might also be something that you can receive from, that you might be able to witness to and say, oh, you know, because God has a way of allowing us to encounter messages from others and leading us into teachings just in the perfect timing, his perfect timing, so that it's something that we want to hear or that we need to hear. So my vision was this, okay? So I'm going to walk you through this vision, and I'm also going to show you how I came about some of the interpretation. And these are the things, these are the methods that I've been using over the years, many years now, going on 11 years since I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, kind of like when I feel like I became born again, you know? And when I became I was drawn into the secret place, and the Lord started to open up his word, and he started to teach me revelations from his word through encounters with him. So that happened on April 9th of 2010. And ever since, I've been encountering him intimately and through various ways of visions and dreams and getting revelations, just inner knowings, understanding his word in deeper ways that I didn't understand before, being connected with other people that were like me, and so on and so on. So here was the vision. So I saw a Facebook post. That's what it was. As I laid there in bed, right before me, it was a Facebook post, and it was from a friend, and her name is Natalie, and it's someone that I used to work with, actually. So it was a work colleague from the previous school, and the name of that school was Propel, and I could actually tell you her new name, her new married name, but I won't do that right now, just for sake of... it really doesn't matter. I don't think there's anything, because it wasn't like it was a real Facebook post. It wasn't something that she had really posted in the natural that I was remembering. It was a brand new thing. The Lord was using her name as a symbolic meaning because he wanted me to seek out the meaning of her name. And her name is Natalie, and her new married name is Ruby. Okay. Her maiden name, actually, I can't even remember. But in the dream, that's the name that I saw in my mind was, oh, Natalie just posted something. And I knew it was Natalie Ruby. I knew it wasn't Natalie, other Natalie, this Natalie, because I'm friends on Facebook with several different Natalies. I knew immediately who it was. And the Facebook post was a picture of a really bright rising sunset. Sunrise. I'm sorry. It was a sunrise. It was a rising sun. And it was just a still image, but it was a very bright sunrise. And so I came out of that right away, and I was like, oh, wow, I just saw something. And so then I woke up, you know, got up, and I started pressing in, and I started researching, what could this mean? So, of course, I researched the meaning of the name Natalie, and the meaning of the name Natalie is birth of the Lord. I actually haven't even dived deep into Ruby. So I'm not sure about that part yet. So there's still a little bit left for me to discover. So that's that. But also, I worked with her at my previous job at Propel Schools. So I feel like Propel also has a part to do with this, because it could have been a different Natalie, but it was that Natalie. So there's a reason why it was that Natalie, because God wants to speak through that. There's an additional message there for me. And the post of a rising sun, a very bright white. It was like the bright white sunrise. And for me, I've actually seen that image before. So this wasn't anything new. This was something that the Lord has shown me when I'm praying and I'm waiting on the Lord. I'll see that really bright white light flash in my mind's eye, like when my eyes are closed, and I'll see that flash, and I know it sometimes startles me. In fact, it's so bright, and I'll know in that instant that the presence of the Lord is in the room, whether it's through his spirit coming upon me, or whether it's angelic hosts that are present. But I know, and I can feel, you know, so I know that that's what that is for me. That's how he speaks on that. And then as far as the rising sun goes, as I was pressing in, so what I did was I immediately went into the Bible app. So because it's just so much easier, instead of me seeking through the whole Bible thinking, oh, wait, what Bible verses do I know from my memory that have the rising sun? You know, of course, there's a few that came to mind immediately, but I wanted to be very thorough and comprehensive. So I went into the Bible app online, and I was able to find all the different versions that reference the rising sun. Now, from the rising of the sun till the time that it goes down, the name of the Lord shall be praised. It was the one verse that popped into my head immediately. And I knew that the rising of the sun is from the east. And so because I knew that, in some translations, it just says east, in the east, from the east. And in other translations, it says from the rising of the sun. So I also wanted to seek out all the instances that have to do with east. But I actually didn't even do that yet. So I still have some work ahead of me, which I love. I just love to dive in and really enjoy the process. So what I feel the Lord is saying is that He is rising upon us in power. Because one of the verses that really stood out to me is a place, first of all, there were two specifically. The one was from Isaiah 45, and the other one was Judges 5:31. And I knew, because I was actually talking about this with another person, and I started to kind of like get the translation. I started to get the understanding as I was opening my mouth, because as you open your mouth, He will fill it. And I was just speaking about it, and I was just opening my mouth and letting Him fill it, right? And out comes this understanding started to flow. And so what I was seeing, that the verse from Judges 5:31, may all of your enemies perish in this way, Lord, but may those who love Him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was at rest for 40 years. That was kind of like the tail end of that in Judges. But this portion of scripture was actually spoken by Deborah. Deborah wrote, and she was a very powerful, strong woman, military woman, actually, of God. And just prior to this scripture in Judges 5:31, talks about how Jael took the tent peg and drove it into Sisera's forehead. So she took, it was a very brave move. And I know it sounds pretty gruesome in the way that that played out, but it was something that needed to be done in order to protect. And I was really surprised, actually, when I kind of, not only did I just look at that verse, but I wanted to look at it in context in the whole Judges chapter 5 and understand what the meaning of this verse was. I just didn't want to pull it out of context. Well, there can be power in that. It's also another altogether layer of understanding when you look at it in context. And I had already known that the Lord was showing me that He's rising upon women in this hour. He's really empowering women right now. And for me personally, that's my personal testimony. This is my 50th year. This is my year of Jubilee. I turned 50 on November 27th last year. And as soon as I turned the corner of this Gregorian calendar year, New Year's Day, actually New Year's Day Eve, so New Year's Eve Day, I should say, I started to feel it coming upon me, and I started to feel boldness. I was out there at Chastain Beach, sitting out there, and I was just, you know, spending time waiting on the Lord and enjoying the beach and the nature and everything around me. Just the power of His creation was just, it's just so amazing. And I was singing Open the Scroll. I wasn't singing it, but I was like listening to it, singing along. And I felt like He was really bringing to my remembrance in that time the scrolls that He had given me. He had given me two scrolls. I had seen one in a dream, and I had gotten one in a vision, where literally I saw something handed to me from the left. It was like a portfolio, and it said the word Azor on it, which I was like, what does that even mean? I had to look it up, and it was the Italian version of blue sky, blue. Azor is also a Spanish word. I believe it's a Spanish word for blue, but the way it was spelled, it was like A-Z-Z-U-R-R-E, and it was like the Italian version of it. And when I saw that come to me, I thought, what is this? And I immediately thought it was like an asset portfolio, like a bank portfolio. So I felt like God was giving me an asset. He was giving me something, you know. And the meaning of blue sky, blue, it was like, you know, revelation, the vastness of the you know, being up there in the sky, in the realm of the godly realm, which is represented by the eagle. The book of John, you know, when we look at the four facets, the four living creatures, the eagle is the face. That face of the eagle represents the ministry of Jesus in his godly ministry while he was on earth, and then how he manifests through us through that eagle realm as well, that prophetic realm. So I knew there was something there that he was giving me, but I still haven't, you know, even unpacked all of that yet. And then prior, after that, actually, I was given another envelope stuffed full of papers and things. I don't even know what was in it because I didn't get a chance in the dream to open it. You know, I was just given it to me. It was given to me by a prophetic itinerant minister, actually. And it was written in pencil and it said foundations on the envelope, but I didn't get a chance to open it. So he's been unpacking that slowly for me. You know, I've been getting more and more understanding of what that was. But as I was sitting out there that day, this past New Year's Eve day, singing Open the Scroll, I was realizing that he has given each and every one of us scrolls. We've been given scrolls. And then I was brought, those two scrolls were brought to my remembrance. And when I say scroll, I mean, you've been given an assignment. You've been given the information that you need. And when you're given an assignment, you're given the go ahead. You're given the ability, you're giving the opportunity, the open door to operate in that and whatever's needed for that assignment. And it doesn't happen overnight, you know, I realize that. But that was the beginning of boldness for me, boldness. You know, I had prayed Acts 4, 29 through 31, where Peter stood up and said, Lord, you know, take note of their threats to harm us. And we ask that you would give us boldness to speak your word while you stretch out your hand to heal so that many signs and wonders will be performed through the name of Jesus. And it was like when Peter was asking for more boldness. And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's whenever they got another shaking of the house that they were in. And they received boldness to preach the word and to go out and perform the signs and wonders, miracles, through the hand of Jesus. But while Jesus did that, Jesus did the work, you know. So, you know, I know while we preach the word, he is the healer. He stretches out his hand. So that, I felt, was a prayer that I've been praying for years, literally, you know, 11 years. And that it was coming to manifestation. I just felt an impartation of boldness that day. And it was, you know, coming around the bend of 2020 into 2021. And it was my year of Jubilee. So I know while I turned 50 on November 27th, which, by the way, I'm not ashamed to say, you know, sometimes women don't want to say how old they are because there's like a stigma in our society for age. And, you know, when people know you're a certain age, maybe that limits the playing field, you know, who may be people out there. Oh, I was interested in her, but now that I know she's 50, oh, no thanks. You know, she's too old for me. You know, if you're single. And so there's a lot of ramifications for that. But you know what? I am loving this year of my life and I want to enjoy it. I want to proclaim it. I am just in that place where I am letting my hair down. I'm being who I am and how God created me to be. And I'm stepping out and I'm testifying from where I am. This is me. This is where I am right now. And he's just really been impressing upon me the importance of ministering from the place of where you are, not where you want to be someday, because you're wasting time. You're missing out on that opportunity of where you are, because he has you in that place for such a time as this, for a reason. So I think that's really important. And that may resonate with you. But what I wanted to do is I just wanted to pray a prayer of boldness and might, because I feel like he is showing himself as the rising of the sun on me and my life right now. And I want to impart that to you. So right now, Lord, I just ask that everything that you have shown me, that you have given to me, that you have imparted in me, with your permission and with your power, I ask that you would impart that to the listeners, those that are seeking it, those that feel they need that. Lord, I just ask that you would give it to them. In Jesus' name, receive it. Receive that, that aspect of the Lord, that facet of Him, that ministry of Him as the rising of the sun. And so I seal that in Jesus' name. So receive it. But I was seeing Him showing up as Lord of hosts, strong in battle, mighty. And this has been tying back to a lot of symbolism here with the rising of the sun, because the rising of the sun comes from the east. And I have a lot of other little things that the Lord was showing me. I don't really have to go into all of those little confirmations of certain ministry leaders and teachings and little movies and just little things that He was showing me, leading me into the scripture of where He wants me to go. But I know that He's doing a work in me and He's going to use me powerfully in this area. I know that He wants me to step out and especially in Isaiah 45. And what I'm going to do is I am actually going to read through these scriptures before we end this broadcast today, because I want to bless you with that by reading the word, because I feel it's powerful. It's a compilation of all the verses that have to do with the rising of the sun. But as you know, the rising of the sun is the east, right? And the one of the eastern states, one of the eastern countries, Japan, has as their flag the rising sun. And we all know that those countries are very well trained in and have a strong history of the martial art. And so I actually had a dream once where the Lord was teaching me about using prophetic weapons. And when I heard the voice, you know, I was being chased by something. And so I came into this area and I heard Him clearly say to me, use your prophetic weapons. I heard a voice say to me, use your prophetic weapons in this dream. And I knew instantaneously that I need to go up on the pile of this heap of junk, of refuge, get up there. And that's where they would be. So I went up there, and when I got to the top, I realized I was standing on exposed 2x4s. It was like a wall. I was up there as if like the wall had been, you know, this house had been half torn down, and I was up there on top of it. Exposed 2x4 walls. And there was a box up there full of very sharp martial art like weapons, like things that you would see those, you know, that have been trained to use, and like things that I would never consider touching in my life, you know, like, no, I'm not about that. But I knew I needed to go over to that box, and they were gold. They were gold weapons. So I took them out and I was throwing them down to this thing that was chasing me, this half man, you know, this, I knew I was being chased by something. And so the enemy was chasing me. So I was throwing these sharp, like stars, you know, like those throwing stars. I was throwing them down. And then what was interesting in the dream, though, was this enemy was throwing them back up at me, only his version of them, his collection of sharp instruments. And they were black. They were black. So they were just like mine, and then they were black. And so in that instance, I grabbed one of these weapons, and I dropped it down on its end, down. And the next scene, there I was, right with this half man, half animal creature as it was dying. And I had knocked all of its teeth out with that weapon that I had dropped. And so I had compassion on it. I picked it up, put it inside a glass coffin, which was like a fish tank, basically. Because there was like those fish rocks on the bottom, blue fish rocks. So I laid it down on those, and then I put the black lid on top, like a black fish tank lid. And I knew that it wasn't going to have any water, and then I was to walk away, and then it was going to die without water. So that was the dream. And He was opening up the meaning of that. Now, that was years ago. That was actually in 2015, probably, 2014, 2015. And I was sharing it on a crusade with some friends in Colombia at the time. And I was like, hey, I had this dream. What do you guys think about it? So that's how I know the timeline on that. But so what He unpacked that dream for me as I pressed in for meaning was that those prophetic weapons were, you know, the sharp two-edged sword of his word, the word of God, okay? And that the enemy has his word that is a counterfeit because it was very similar and it was sharp, but it was black. So it was not the same. It was just like a counterfeit. But he was using them against me. But of course, my word prevailed. And then I knocked out his teeth. Teeth often represent, you know, wisdom. But it is, you know, what you can't speak out of your mouth. So a lot of stuff with that. But interestingly, he brought that back to my remembrance because of the whole rising of the sun and the power of women to use the word of God as a prophetic weapon. The sharp two-edged sword of the word of God coming out of our mouth, the two-mouthed sword. Some translations say the actual original language speaks of it as a two-mouthed sword coming out of our mouth, but it's also coming out of the mouth of the Lord himself at the same time when we speak his word. Very powerful. I definitely see that he's moving. He's empowering women to speak his word and to move in this aspect of ministry. And this is him. He wants to move through this, through us. So there was probably some more there with the rising sun from the east. But I'm not going to go into that right now. So out of Isaiah 41:25, I'm just going to read these scriptures and then we'll pray. I stirred up one from the north who comes from the rising of the sun. He will call on my name. He will trample rulers into the mud as a potter treads clay. So I feel like that to me spoke of, you know, being able to have power over principalities and powers and rulers in dark places. Isaiah 45:6. Yet through you, everyone will know who I really am. Those from the rising sun in the east to the west, everyone everywhere will know that I am Yahweh, the one and only God, and there is no other. And I feel like that's a call to ministry. So if you're feeling called to ministry, just ask for him to rise upon you. He, you know, and that's another way we can kind of think about when we say the Lord has come upon me and empowered me, or I felt the anointing fall upon me, or, you know, the Spirit is in me for me, but he's comes upon me for you, for ministry. And I feel like this is a call to ministry. When the rising sun rises upon you, the rising of the sun rises upon you, it is a call for the anointing of God to come upon you and to call you into ministry. Everyone everywhere will know that I'm Yahweh through you, through your ministry. It's a call to ministry. Isaiah 59:19 says, from the west to the lands of the rising sun, the glory and the name of Yahweh will be held in highest reverence, for he will break in as a flooding, rushing river driven on by the breath of Yahweh, his Holy Spirit, right? Psalm 50, verse 1. God, the judge of the righteous and the wicked, a psalm of Asaph. The mighty one God, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shown. May our God come and not keep silent. Fire devours before him, and a storm is violently raging around him. Powerful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 113:3. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. In Malachi 1:11, it says, for from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name shall be great among the nations, and in every place frankincense is going up to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of armies, which is the Lord of hosts. And this really was powerful for me because I had just been reading in Malachi, you know, even before I started to put this together, I was like, where do you want me to read, Lord? And so I just read in Malachi. You know, sometimes I like to read just where he leads me. And of course, the frankincense represents our prayers, our intercession going up. And the purity, the grain offering that is pure. Of course, we know that the grain represents the bread, right? And the bread we know is the bread. Jesus' body was offered, and then we partake of the bread when we take communion, and the blood, the wine, and we receive. But, you know, this is speaking to our grain offering that is pure, that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy unto the Lord. And that's how he shall be great among the nations. When we offer up that intercession, in every place that we go, as a pure vessel, holy unto the Lord. Okay, and in Revelation 7:2, and I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, holding the seal of the living God. And this really started to come together because I was like, whoa, you know, I've been seeing this might come upon me. And it started right when I was getting that revelation about the seals that he had been giving me. The seal, of course, is the scroll. That's another name for the scroll, holding the seal of the living God. And he called out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not damage the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have marked the loving servants of our God with a seal on their foreheads, the mind of Christ. And again, this is a call to ministry. For me, that's what I'm seeing. When the Lord rises upon you, he's calling you into ministry so that you can preach his word, sharper than a two-edged sword. You can preach the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and that you can help others and with their mind, because we renew our mind with the word. Those that are sealed are protected from judgment. And I don't want to get into the whole timeliness of this and whether this has anything to do with the timing of what God's doing on his timeline, because, you know, I think we can get into that and we don't know really how long seasons last, but we do know that we have been learning a lot about the bride. But I'm seeing the Lord of hosts coming. The Lord of hosts is coming. And as he gets closer, the bride is preparing herself, right? So how you believe about the rapture, whether there's going to be a rapture that happens and we're going to go up and consummate the marriage and the marriage supper of the Lamb with the Lord in the air, right? And then we'll be with him forever and come back with him to rule and reign as the Lord of hosts, which is how I generally feel the scripture interprets. And, you know, I tend to believe that. Those Bible teachers that teach that, I feel that there's a lot of scriptural evidence and the Lord has witnessed to me. But I wanted to read a footnote by Brian Simmons on Revelation 7:2. So from the sun rising, this is his footnote about the sun rising. The east is often associated with blessings and the place from which God appears. And we see he has given three scripture references here, Genesis 2:8, Ezekiel 43:1-4, and Matthew 2:1. The messenger was ascending from the east, not descending. The star of Jesus was rising in the east. This sealing messenger represents the living God and points to Christ, who is rising in his people, bringing the light of a new day. It is a company of messengers arising out of the light of the sunrise to bring the seal of God upon his people. And I saw this footnote after I've been putting all these revelations together, and this just was confirmation for me. So going into the one footnote that he included in this footnote was Genesis 2:8. The Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed man in whom he had formed. And that's the garden. The garden was in the east, right? Ezekiel 43:1-4 is the vision of the glory of God filling the temple. And this is just ultimately one of my favorite portions of scripture. Then he led me to the gate facing east. And again, there's a scripture in Psalms that say, lift up ye gates, open up ye ancient doors, and let the dunamis power come in. And I think this has to do with us, you know, opening up our mind gates, our heart gates, our eye gates, our ear gates, our touch gates, our thought gates, everything. We are opening up and allowing the Lord to come in and fill that with his dunamis power. So he led me to the gate facing east, and behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel was coming from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone from his glory. again, the earth shone, and I've seen how bright that is. He has shown me that. And it was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Kebar, and I fell on my face. And the glory of the Lord entered the house by way of the gate facing east. Again, here we are talking about the glory of the Lord, the power of God, the anointing rising upon us. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner courtyard, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then I heard him speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside me, which really spoke to me, because I've had many dreams where there's been a man standing beside me, which I can't see who that is. And I know that that's the Holy Spirit because I can't see his face. It's the Lord. And he said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I dwell among the sons of Israel forever. And the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings, by their prostitution and by the corpses of their kings when they die, by putting their threshold by my threshold and their doorpost by my doorpost." The threshold speaks about separating the wheat from the chaff, you know, and that's also a place of intimacy, actually. And that's where Boaz was laying when Ruth came and laid at his feet and presented herself as wanting to be available for him to take as his wife. Their doorpost and my doorpost, the doorpost represents the servant. So as we remember in Philippians, it talks about that, where every 7 years, the slaves were given that opportunity to go free or to become a permanent slave, to become a permanent servant, because they loved being there. They didn't want to leave their master's house. So they would actually pierce their earlobe to the door, and the blood would run. And that symbolizes how we have been, how the Lord has been pierced, and that how we are pierced with him as his servant. We serve him. We have become bond servants. That's a bond servant. A bond servant is more than a servant. A servant served for 7 years, but the bond servant would serve forever. So may we all become bond servants. "And with only the wall between me and them, now let them remove their prostitution and the corpses of their kings far from me, purity, and I will dwell among them forever. Touch no dead thing," right? Purity. "I will dwell among them forever. As for you, son of man, inform the house of Israel of the temple, so that they will be ashamed of their wrongdoings, and have them measure the plan." So now we're talking about building. "And if they are ashamed of everything they have done, make known to them the plan of the house, its layouts, its exits, its entrances, all of its plans, all its statutes and all its laws, and write it in their sight, so that they may observe its entire plan and all its statutes and execute them." And of course, being a home builder, I'm very familiar with home plans, very familiar with the specifications of the house, building the house and its layouts, the foundation, and that's critical. And again, the Lord always speaks to me in building terms because of my background in home building, but also he's a builder. The Lord is a builder. "And all its statutes and execute them. And this is the law of the house. Its entire area on the top of the mountain, all around, shall be most holy." Talking about the mountain, again, we're talking about the temple, where the temple was built, of course. But when we talk about the mountain, we talk about going up into that place of intimacy, waiting on the Lord, entering, coming up higher, going up into the throne room where we have access now through the blood, to enter into the cloud and be with the Lord and hear his voice and see visions and see our view from heavenly places, where we are seated in Christ and we, where it is holy, because we are holy. Jesus said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Behold, this is the law of the house. And I want to proclaim that right now, that this is the law of this house. This is the law of your house. This is the law of the house. Okay, so I think that's where I want to stop, because I really don't want to take away from that. Yeah. So another side note was, the east is often associated with blessings and the place from which God appears. And I just absolutely love that.
That's good. Oh, yeah, that's right. One more thing. Matthew 2:1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem near Jerusalem during the reign of King Herod. After Jesus' birth, a group of spiritual priests came from the east to Jerusalem. Now, there's been a lot of study and teaching about that, that those priests, those kings have gone all the way back as spiritual soothsayers, those that were from the line of Daniel, okay, because when Daniel was in Babylon. And so they understood, they were able to see the times, and God used them powerfully in that. So I don't want to get into that. I don't quite have the full understanding and teaching of that available to me. But the point that I want to make is that, interestingly, a footnote, again, from Brian Simmons, was that Bethlehem is the house of bread. And we know that, the house of bread. Bethlehem is house of bread. And we knew that Jesus was the bread of life. So we saw that, right? That was very prophetic. However, Lehem has another meaning, and it means fighters. So, and this was Brian Simmons' note, because he said that's one of the reasons why those that followed Jesus thought he was coming to take down the Roman Empire, you know, and fight, because they saw that as the house of fighters. King David was a warrior. King Jesus was both bread and fighting, righteous fighter of sin and death. We know that. So he fulfilled both meanings of the word. But this was also speaking volumes about how the Lord is coming upon us as a warrior. He's empowering us to fight with the sword, to divide the bone and the marrow, to divide the false from the authentic, to preach the truth, to divide the facts from the truth. Sometimes the facts don't line up with the truth. And so when he rises upon us, he is coming in that power to bring light into the darkness. So I'm looking at some of the other verses here. In Psalm 19:6, the sun's rising is from one end of the heavens in its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. So this word is powerful. It's rising in the east and it's setting in the west, and it's just, it's like from one end of the earth to the other, you know. And we know that Jesus took away our sin as far as the east is from the west, and nothing is hidden from his power. And that's where we're coming into this time where the rising of the sun is coming upon us, the glory of the Lord, the anointing to preach his word in power with very sharp utterances. And there's not going to be anybody that's going to be able to hide from it. You're either going to have to receive it or you're going to have to reject it, but you're not going to be able to hide from it. Okay, and in Isaiah 41:25, in the Amplified Classic, I have raised up and impelled to action one from the north. And of course, we know that this references King Cyrus. And he comes from the rising of the sun, but it also represents Jesus who came from heaven. And he comes from the rising of the sun. He calls upon my name. And in quotes, in an emphasis in the Amplified Classic, it says, recognizing that his victories have been granted to him by me. And he shall tread upon the rulers and deputies and upon mortar and as the potter treads clay. And we know that when the potter is treading upon the clay, he has the intent to create something new. He comes with the suddenness of a comet, but none of the idle oracles of the nations has anticipated it. And I put a star beside that because I thought, wow, you know, you're not going to be hearing this potentially from those people that are out there prophesying, from things that are from their own vain imaginations, things that are tickling the ears of people that want to hear it. You know, some of the things that the Lord has to speak upon us and some of the things that we share aren't easy to hear. You know, if you're with him, then you receive it. But if you're not for him, you're against him. It's something you may not want to hear. And so I really found that fascinating. That was from the Amplified Classic. In Isaiah 59:19 in the Amplified Classic. So, as the result of the Messiah's intervention, they shall reverently, going with that fear of the Lord, the holy reverential fear of the Lord, fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight, for he will come like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives. And that's where I want to end, because I want to talk to you, and I want to end on this. He comes in like a mighty flood. The Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard and puts him to flight. And we know that where two are gathered, two can put 10,000 to flight. And so we gather together in his name, and we thank you for your word, Lord. And there's nothing I need to add to that. There's nothing I need to add to your word. Your word is good. Your word is true. We receive it, and we say, thank you, Lord. Just rise upon us in might, ministering through us from where we are right now. Lord, we surrender to you, and we say, come, Holy Spirit, come upon us. We ask for a fresh anointing in Jesus' name. So I just bless you where you are. You are mighty in the power of the Lord.